Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Senior pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and would like to invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible. Today's message is entitled, Seven Signs of Being One Nation Under God.
Psalms 33, when you have the word, say, I have the word. If you need a Bible to use while you're here, put your hand up. We do have Bibles that you can use. We just ask you to return it before you leave. Psalms 33, I'm going to be in verse number 8, and I'll read down to verse 22, and then I probably won't read it for time's sake, but put in your notes, there's a New Testament correlating scripture, 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 4 through 10, and I might just read a little bit of that later on. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. All right, again, Psalms 33, you have the word. Right, I must go. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings to counsel the nations for nothing, to nothing. He makes the plains of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his hearts are to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Is it America? Is it Israel? Is it Germany? Is it China? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I really want to talk about that today. It says the people who he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and he sees the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks and all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions in their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. Build armies all you want. But no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is in vain who hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. That's good right there. It says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is on him who fear him, of those who hope in mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. Who waits for the Lord? The one nation under God. I'm going to get there. It says, our soul waits on the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Who has trusted in his holy name? The one nation under God. Because we have trusted in his holy name, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Again, for a few moments, I want to talk about one nation under God. Do me a favor, catch him by the hand and say, neighbor, we are one nation under God. Right. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next, oh God, 12, 13 minutes that I have. God, give me articulation of speech. Let me speak as an oracle. Let me declare your truths. Let me bring understanding, Father, where there may be chaos, confusion, God, and despair. God, let me speak that there be hope. Let me speak that there be faith. Let me speak that there be a gripping to Jesus like never before, gripping to the house of the Lord like never before, and a gripping to the kingdom that is coming. We thank you. We glorify your name. Let us be clear. Let it be declared over us. We are one nation under God. We thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. First Peter 2 says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he who believes in him by no means shall be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But those who disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone, a stumbling block and rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, for they were appointed. But listen what it says next. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Listen what he says next. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Somebody go ahead and declare it with me real loud. Say, we are a nation. That is the anchor point of my teaching today. So I pray that you really get that we are a nation. Look at somebody real loud. Look at somebody real clearly and say, we are a nation. If we are a nation, then we really need to think about and ponder and even, one person would say pontificate, this subject matter of what does it mean to be one nation under God? Do me a favor, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you know what it means to be one nation under God? Holden, you might want to listen to me today because I know you want to impact community and you are burdened down by what's going on in America. So I really want you to listen to me today because we've got to get a good grasp on what it means to be one nation under God. Do I have any history buffs in here? Let me see. Do I have anybody that love history? All right. Well, I only see about 7 hands, 8 hands at the most that sort of kind of enjoy history. So more than likely, the rest of us, because we don't enjoy it, probably most of what we know about history is what somebody told us. And not something we've studied or something we've dug out or something we really are convinced is absolutely true. So with that being a case and me wanting to talk about one nation under God, can I take about 3 or 4 minutes and give you a real quick history lesson about this new world called America? The history books tells us that Christopher Columbus sailed and found a new world between 1492 and 1502. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you listening? All right. Christopher Columbus, this is what the history book tells us, that somewhere between 1492 and 1502, he discovered or he went about on 3 to 4 different voyages, and he found what we now consider the America or the United States of America. Not called that at that time, but known as it is now. Right. One of the things that all the history books tells us that regardless of whether it was down around the Bahamas where he first began to explore or in Virginia where they say or Delaware where he first stopped, every history book says where he went, there were natives. He didn't go to any of these lands and find lands that was unoccupied. And I only say that because most of what we're now wanting to bar out of this country that we're calling illegal immigrants, most of them are the natives that he first saw when he first came. Just a breeze here for that lesson. Because I want us to be one nation under God. Somebody say it, me, natives. Come on, tell them when we're making policies, don't forget. When we first came, there were natives. One of the first things that started to happening to the natives when Columbus first came and later other European people came, they started getting killed. And they started picking up diseases that had not been in the country heretofore. And slowly they began to die out. And where they did not die out, the more that the Europeans moved westwardly, the less land they had that they had occupied for at least thousands of years. Brief history lesson. Say again, many of the natives are what we now are labeling as illegals. Wikipedia, when I started to research some of this, says that the history of the United States is what happened in the past of the United States. A country in North America. Native Americans lived here thousands of years before the Europeans came, mainly being English people. Somewhere around 1607, the first settlers went to Jamestown, Virginia. They established the first English town as a new group settling in what they call the New America. The natives were killed. And please stick with me. I'm going somewhere that I'm going to get us under one nation of God. But you got to understand the history of America being one nation under God. Somewhere around 1607, they settled in Jamestown, West Virginia. And somewhere around 1773, the 13 colonies was established following by a revolutionary war that they won against Great Britain. Somewhere around 1776, around July 4th, they wrote the Declaration of Independence. Somebody said me real loud, the Declaration of Independence. All right, basically mainly led by George Washington and his other elite. Oh, God, I don't want to get there. 1776, the Declaration of Independence. Somewhere around 1787, they wrote the Constitution of the United States. And somewhere around 1791, they wrote the Bill of Rights. And then we'd go into the 1800s. They begin to take land all west. And then 1900s, they become a superpower. And I say again, there were three main documents. Please stick with me. I promise you I'm going somewhere. The three main documents, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights, nowhere in those documents is there one nation under God. Go back and look. Read them for me. Prove me wrong. Nowhere in the Declaration of Independence, nowhere in the Constitution of the United States of America, nowhere under the Bill of Rights, is there any statement that declares we are now one nation under God? Do me a favor, tell somebody he's going somewhere. I know I can feel it. You want to know where is he going? This ain't Pastor Lawrence's normal mode of presentation. Around the 1800s, America's that had now written the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, they began to move further west. Then became that great thing called the American Civil War. And the Civil War was about slavery. After the Civil War, we know, amen, basically the North won and slavery was abolished, though it didn't stop. Slavery was abolished. And then America moves into the 1900s and somewhere we get the Civil Rights Bill and all of those things that says now we are what we are. As I said to you, there is something missing to the narrative in this new world that identified us as one nation under God. If you ask the average American citizen, they will say, man, it's changing, but they would normally say, we are one nation under God. But nowhere in the Constitution, nowhere in the Declaration of Independence, nowhere in the Bill of Rights do you find it recorded, one nation under God. So where does that come from? In 1892, a gentleman wrote what he called the Pledge of Allegiance to a nation. He didn't initially write it for America. It was for any nation to declare allegiance to that nation in 1892. Somewhere around 1923, it was ratified and it said Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And then somewhere around 1954, a civic organization says, let's make it, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands. And they added one nation under God. The daughter of the originator of the Pledge of Allegiance says, we don't want that. President Eisenhower and the Congress overruled and they said, we're going to become now one nation under God. So when it originally started, and I know I'm busting some bubbles here, and I know sometimes you're trying to figure out where I'm going. It was voted upon for us to be deemed one nation under God. The framers was talking about many gods when they talked about God. So if we're going to go about, where are you going with this, Pastor Lawrence? If we're going to go about, and I'm really speaking like this because as there was established a new world, I see clear in view there is coming a new world order. And when we throw out words now, when we throw out phrases, especially with deconstruction, come on, Ernest, help me here, and especially with pro-structuralism, with wording, we are hearing words that we think they mean one thing, but they mean something entirely different. And we now must really explore, is America one nation? It is quiet in here. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, is America one nation under God? Tell him, don't answer, don't answer. I'm going to say again, you're going to hear me preach more like this in the coming days because I see clearly the coming of a new world order. And I don't know how many of God's people are awakened to what's really going on and what's being put in our face and what we're being drugged into and what we're being led into. And if we don't study, we won't be able to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So the initial framers with the Constitution, the original framers with the Bill of Rights, the initial framers with the Declaration of Opinion, nowhere did they say we was one nation under God. It was in 1954 when the Pledge of Allegiance was amended and President Dwight Eisenhower and the Congress said, yeah, let's become one nation under God. And the scriptures are clear. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He wants us to be one nation under God. But there are some prerequisites to that. We can't just throw out lingo and throw out words and throw out phrases and then the catchiness determines whether we are what we say we are. Somewhere the rubber got to meet the road. Either we are one nation, and I'm almost there, so give me a couple more minutes. Either we are one nation under God, or we are not. If we are one nation under God, then everything gonna be all right for America. If we are not one nation under God, then I urge the citizens of America, turn to the true and living God. Because as a prophet of the Lord and a prophet that now is composing himself to preach to the nation, I believe all of my heart of biblical proportions, there is escalating the coming of a new world order. Hosea chapter 2, it says, for thus said the Lord of hosts, one more time I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. This is what the Bible says. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desires of all nations, and in this temple I will fill it with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Hebrews echoes the exact same message. He said, yes, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven, that I may remove those things that can be shaken, that only would remain that which cannot be shaken. I believe we must now determine, are we or are we not one nation under God? There are seven signs that Psalms 33 signals indicating whether or not a people are one nation under God, and they are as clear as day. We don't have to argue about anything. We just have to determine our conclusion. Seven signs that determine whether or not we are one nation under God. and I want to give them to you in my time remaining. It is amazing over the last few weeks what I've been talking about, the God of. And we end today with, now, are we going to be one nation under this God of? Seven signs, all right? And I know some of y'all don't want me to preach like this, but I'm sorry. I've got to go with the shift that God is shifting me in. We've got to now determine, are we one nation under God? The first sign is found in verse number 8, all right? What is the first sign that indicates we are one nation under God? It's verse number 8. Number one, the citizens live out convictions that indicate that they are in awe of a holy God. Not determined by who the president, whether it's Obama or whether it's Trump. It's not dependent about whether the House is Democratic and the Senate is Republican. None of that determines whether or not is one nation under God. The first thing that indicates a nation is one nation under God, the citizens live out holy inspired conviction that indicate that they are in God of a holy God. How can we be under God that we are not in awe of? Are y'all still here, or am I boring you with what I'm talking about today? I'm going to ask you again. How can we be a nation under God when we can GD and we can burn down churches and we can come in church and do anything we want to do? The first sign that is a nation that is under God, they live out Holy Spirit-inspired convictions that indicate that they are in awe of a holy God. My prayer for you, my prayer for us as a congregation is that now we would be so determined to live out convictions that indicate, man, they are in awe of their holy God. Now, I love what the older saints taught me. When you get saved, there's some places you just don't go. When you get saved, there's some things you just don't say. The older saints had it so much awe of God that they wouldn't do things in the sanctuary that we casually do because we've come to a postmodern moment. Number one, if you want to know if America, if Japan, if Indonesia is a nation under God, then the first signal, take a survey of the citizens and ask them, what Holy Spirit-inspired convictions do you live out that says you are in awe of God? Hear me, people of the Most High God. We've got to get back to, there are some things I don't do because I'm saved. Okay, y'all didn't say anything. We've got to get back to that there are some places I don't go because I'm saved. Okay, I've got to preach like this because I want to know whether or not we're one nation under God or not. And if we are or if we're not, I want to make sure I am a citizen that live out holy inspired conviction that indicate we are in awe of a holy God. Psalms 33 and 8. Signal number two. And when I get finished with three, you can doxology me because, I'm going to just give it to us and we can make the determination. Are we one nation under God? Number two, the citizens honor God's written and spoken commands with no reservations. Verse number 9. And I'm taking everything from the text that I read to you today, all right? What is a signpost that says these people are one nation under God? These citizens honor God's written and spoken commands with no reservations. They're not debating the black and white, and they're not even speaking that there's some gray in the text. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So I begin with them. I'm going to do my best to follow all 10. How can we be under God and we pick and choose which command we will obey? I can't hear you. Signpost number two, the citizens honor God's written and spoken commands with no reservation. He wrote it, so I got to obey it. I can't argue with you that that ain't liberal enough. It's holy enough. You didn't say anything. Because a lot of our arguments is we're arguing with people that now operate in a spirit of do so wilt. And you got to be able to say, although I'm free, I ain't that free. So number two, if we're a nation under God, the citizens honor his written and his spoken command with no reservations. Come on, do me a favor, prophesy to your neighbors and neighbor. In this season, you getting those reservations out your heart. Come on, tell them you're going to obey in this season. Number three, the citizens only promote nationalism that is taken directly from a biblical worldview. And if I had time to work out any of these points, this is the point that I really want to work out, because a catchy word that you're going to hear over the next 3 months, over the next 2 years, and especially during Donald Trump's entire period of ruling as the president, you're going to hear this word nationalism. The only nationalism a nation promotes that is under God is that which is taken from a biblical worldview.
You've just heard a message on Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to order the full-length message. We hope you are encouraged to live the victorious life. And remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.